And welcome to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 2nd. My name is Shona Osterhout. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with MK McNaughton about this weekend's open studio tour and First Friday with her art students tomorrow. Beth Weigel will be here with an update of all the library activities in Juno and Douglas. We'll find out about the Juno Masonic Center and their new lodge. Margie Hamburger from the City Museum will be here to highlight their upcoming collaboration with Perseverance Theater. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, Writer's Almanac, music, and more here on a Juno Afternoon.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is distributing $4 million to schools. The money comes from revenue generated by the sale of Cherokee car tags or license plates. As Jacob McClellan of public radio station KGOU reports, this is the first year the tribe will send those funds to schools outside of Cherokee jurisdiction.
38% of the car tag proceeds goes to schools, and the funds are divided up according to a school district's Cherokee enrollment. The money will go to 109 districts, including 19 which are not within tribal jurisdiction. Janice Taylor is a tribal counselor with the Cherokee Nation. She says the money comes with no strings attached. Schools can use it in any way to fill a need.
If the teachers simply need post-it notes in their classrooms, or if this particular school needs athletic equipment, anything, they can use it for anything.
Don Raleigh is the superintendent of Pryor Public Schools, a district with about a 40% Cherokee enrollment. Last year, he received a little over $90,000 in car tag money.
If it were not for this money, I would actually have two less teachers than I have right now. While they give us free rein to use it in any way we want to, that's allowed us to use it basically our staff and to maintain staff.
Raleigh says as budgets have become tighter, his district has begun to rely on the Cherokee car tag money. For National Native News, I'm Jacob McClellan in Norman, Oklahoma.
American Indians have some of the highest rates of obesity and diabetes in the country, but the diseases are two of the biggest risk factors for another disease, cancer. Reporter Mallory Black has more.
As part of National Nutrition Month, health advocates like Stacey Hammer are pushing for people to cook healthier meals. Hammer belongs to Minnesota's Lower Sioux Indian community and coordinates the tribe's diabetes program.
Fruits and vegetables is not something that's a normal part of the diet anymore. I mean, you're losing out on all these antioxidants, which, you know, help fight those free radicals in the body, which is something that you want to continue to have in your diet every day to help fight off, you know, some of these cancers.
Hammer works with the American Indian Cancer Foundation to bring awareness to cancer risk factors like obesity. According to the National Cancer Institute, obesity is linked with the increased risk of breast, colorectal, and kidney cancers. Across the country, more than 80% of people with type 2 diabetes are considered overweight or obese. Dietitian Christine Zumas teaches monthly workshops on cooking for cancer prevention at the University of California in San Diego. She says slimming down could help prevent more than just obesity.
If you were ever going to tell me what is the biggest thing you can do to reduce the risk of cancer, it would just be eating a variety of vegetables and fruits, whole grains, and then lean proteins.
This year, nearly 1.7 million new cancer cases are expected in the U.S. A 2007 NCI study estimated about 84,000 new cases of cancer in men and women were due to obesity. For National Native News, I'm Mallory Black.
The chairperson of the Paiute Indian Tribe of Utah faces the prospect of impeachment after accepting gifts from the Washington NFL team. According to documents posted to the tribe's website by the tribal council, Jerry Lafferty accepted gifts from the Washington NFL team as well as an all-expenses-paid trip to see the team play in Washington, D.C. The charges read, quote, "By soliciting and or accepting these gifts, it gives the appearance that you, as the tribal chairperson and spokesperson of the tribe, are allowing the Washington Redskins Original Americans Foundation to influence your position on a matter of public debate and controversy regarding the use of the name Redskins." We'll have more as this story develops. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. STEM students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, and research opportunities groom NM Tech grads for professional and financial success. Costs and salary info of Tech grads in Winds of Change magazine or nmt.edu.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians. Colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in American Indians 50 and over. For yourself, your family, and our community, get screened. Info at AmericanIndianCancer.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, and it's 6 minutes past the hour. I'm a week ahead. And in the studio with me, I have M.K. McNaughton, always doing so many very cool art projects all over town. Welcome to the studio, M.K.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you have a lot going on, of course, as per usual. And a lot of it's coming up this weekend, some really cool culmination and really cool things. What's going on?
It is. Well, I... teach classes in my studio, Sketch, downtown, and I teach what I'm trying to learn. And in my adult oil painting class, a couple of students asked if they could hang art in my studio, and I thought that was a great idea. So I looked back on my class list, and I've had 17 people take my oil painting classes over the past 2.5 years. Some have taken quite a few classes, and 14 people of those 17 are going to each hang one piece in my studio. So I'm moving all my stuff up high out of the way and clearing the walls and just honoring the students who have supported my studio by taking classes and found me. And I love the people that find me. It's a really sweet group. It's very, the classes are all about encouraging each other and seeing struggles as problem-solving opportunities. And it's really way more fun than watching TV, standing in my studio when a class is going on. So I'm excited about bringing all that energy in.
Yeah. And so what kind of stuff have the students decided to paint? Has it been just a vary, or did they, you know, are you working with certain objects or ideas? Or
I have taught portrait drawing classes, and in the landscape painting, mostly we've painted landscapes. But, you know, people like to break the rules, and I'm all for that. Like, you don't have to paint a landscape in a landscape class.
Yeah.
So, for example, Amanda Falori painted a series. She paints a lot of figures. So she painted figure one that will be in the show tomorrow, and it's great.
Yeah.
She just went at the canvas with gusto, like trying lots of different techniques. And Frida Westman painted jeans drawing on a line in a village up north when she was traveling for work. And some people may have seen that image on the poster traveling around. But yeah, so there are some landscapes with objects in them and some abstracts. Two students who are kids. One is Christopher Nyland. I think he's probably 13 now. And Noah Spangler is 16.
Wow. So that's cool. So this is a kind of a culmination of ongoing classes. So it's and then have you had a class this past kind of semester or winter time?
Yep. I just finished a 6-week class, and I have a 6-week class coming up that's full starting next week. So we're right in between sessions. So a couple pieces on the wall will still be a little bit wet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. And if people haven't been to the studio before, can you tell them where it is? Because
yes.
It seems like, you know, it's kind of not on the main drag, but it is just so worth and more than worth stepping off of the street to find this cool little space.
Thank you for saying that.
Uh-huh.
It's right behind Kenny's Teriyaki, and which is also right behind the Before I Die billboard. A lot of people know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a parking lot there, and in the back there's some propane tanks, and there's a little door by the tanks that leads into my magical little space.
Yeah, it is super fun. And so you're going to do this First Friday thing tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday, right?
Tomorrow's Friday. I have lots of snacks. I'll be open 4:30 to 7:30.
Okay.
And I think all 14 students will be there making appearances if people want to talk to them and talk about the process. The whole goal is to celebrate their work and their process. And it's fun when you hang a piece to talk about it with somebody and talk about what you struggled with or what you like and hear what they think. A couple pieces will be for sale, and all the proceeds go to directly to the students.
That's awesome.
And many of them are not for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And you also have, you know, it's a busy weekend for you. You also have a really great thing happening on Saturday with this tour. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I didn't come up with the idea, but I offered to help organize it. People have done these open studio tours in the past, and they do them in other cities. The idea is that we open up our studios for people to come poke around, and I imagine it kind of like, well, I love looking around people's houses, looking mm-hmm. in the corners. I mean, don't you love to? You want to just look around, and you're not really supposed to poke in the corners. Well, this is the
chance. We're not supposed to. Like, oh no.
You and I maybe do.
Nobody told me.
You want to look at all the little tchotchkes in the corner.
Yeah, it says a lot about a person.
Yeah, so this is your chance. Come poke around. I hope the other artists don't mind I'm saying that, but that's how I see this event. And it's a chance to talk about the materials and what they use. And my studio is kind of public and open. People do pop by, and I like that. But some of them are more hidden away, and like Alaska Blue Clay Studios, which is Paul Volkers and Mary Pat Wyatt. They're over in Douglas, and they do pottery. So this is your chance to go peek in their space and look at a high-fired porcelain stoneware ceramic kiln, and they do wheel-throwing, hand-building. Chris Peluso has Tiny Ghosts Studios, and he does web comics. I like the way he describes this. Each comic is a combination of two sentences of a story and two photographs. The reader is encouraged to use this fragment as a seed and develop the rest of the story within their own minds.
Hmm.
So that's an invitation for a conversation.
Surely.
With him. Photographers, more potters, painters. Juno Dance Theater is open if you want to peek at a class. Their advanced ballet to Broadway students are in rehearsal. Pua will be open with her studio. You get to go into the basement of her house and peek around. And Elise Tomlinson will be in her studio, which is on the second floor of the Valentine Building. And I will be open all day. People have different hours, but I aim for the 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. because I wanted to include a happy hour, which can start any time, but have all these good snacks and drinks. And I welcome people to come talk about upcoming classes and poke around.
Yeah, so will all of the artists be there to kind of talk about their process and their studio and all that kind of stuff?
Exactly, yeah. I missed a couple names. Can I just add Jane Stokes, painting, calligraphy, and whatever suits the fancy of the day? That was intriguing.
I like that.
Ann Wedler, Monica Daugherty, and Phoebe Rohrbacher all share a space down in the I always call it the Heritage Mall, but I don't think Heritage is there anymore.
I call it the Gold Town Building now.
The Gold Town Building, yeah. And that's also where Adam Wood and Sarah Arnston are. Adam's a photographer and Sarah's a potter, which I think is really intriguing in the same studio.
Yeah. How does that work?
I don't know.
Lots of photos of pottery.
Peek in.
Okay.
You just have to come look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if people want the times, the specific information about where to find this, is there one location they can go to, or what's the best way to kind of get this fabulous document that has all the different artists?
Good question. Well, it's in the paper today.
Oh, great.
In the art section. There's no photo with it, so it's kind of near the back. You have to dig a little, but dig. It's worth it. And then on my Facebook page, MK McNaughton, I have it posted on my page with all the times and dates. And I'm open 11 to 6, which is the longest anyone's open. A couple places are open that long, and a couple are shorter hours. So you could start at my studio, and I have a poster on my window, and you could
get all the information
to other spots.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and my studio, again, is right behind Kenny's Teriyaki, in the corner of Front and Main.
And a lot of these are, for the most part, downtown. There's one in Douglas. Looks like there's one in the Valley. The Juno Dance Theater is in the Valley. For the most part, kind of, and there's one in the Flats, it looks like, but pretty close to downtown if you wanted to kind of hit that area.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't that many because several of them are shared studios. So you could easily do it in a day and pretty much graze your way through two meals, I think.
I often wonder kind of what the artistic process is for people, you know, because everybody's different. I mean, there could be, you know, 200 landscape artists, but how those 200 landscape artists go, you know, at their process is completely different. So is that something that people could ask and say, hey, what do you do when you work on, you know, how long does it take? Or
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing I love to talk about.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm having a little bit of a breakthrough myself. I'm trying to move towards movement, more movement in my landscapes, which is something I've always tried to achieve. But I feel like I had a little success with some recent paintings. And I think it's just practice, getting more comfortable with brushwork and bolder, more confident. So I am kind of excited about some of my new work. And I would love to talk about that process.
Yeah, because it seems, you know, I'm like, movement and landscape? I don't get it. But I could tomorrow. I totally get it.
Just kind of put on some spaz out and...
Yeah. So the open studio you can find that on page. You can find it in the newspaper for a full detailed schedule of the galleries. It's actually the studio, the gallery.
It's different.
Cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably everybody has something for sale. I mean, your artists love to sell stuff, but that's not the main goal of this event. It's more just get to know the artists. And this has been happening every 6 months, so it will happen again. So if there are other artists out there who want to participate, just get in contact with the JAC, the Arts and Humanities Council, and they're the group that link us all together.
Perfect. And tomorrow for the First Friday event, could you tell us the details about your students' showcase tomorrow?
The details, 4:30 to 7:30 at my studio. Good snacks.
Great. And a bunch of different students, a bunch of different artists from a series of courses.
Right. Over the past 2.5 years since I've had my studio. And Scott Burton has been making little vignettes of artists who are going to have shows First Friday. And he told me just before I walked in the radio here that he has one up. He interviewed me yesterday or the day before, a 1-minute video on the KRNN Facebook page. So if you want to check those out, check out KRNN Facebook.
Yeah, because there's been some really cool things that you've been doing. I've been checking out the Jack one a week.
Oh, the Grit Project.
The
Thank
Grit
you
Project.
For looking.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's great. I'm it's like, fun. Hey, I know that person. Or who's that? Yeah. Well, MK McNaughton, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Saturday's Open Studio Tour that's happening all over Juneau, as well as tomorrow's First Friday at Sketch, your downtown studio.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 2nd. My name is Shona Osterhout. It's 20 minutes past the hour. And in the studio with me, I have Beth Weigel. Hi.
Hi, Shona.
Updating us about all things happening in library and beyond.
Library and beyond. That's right.
So what's going on in the Juno Public Library system?
Well, we like to celebrate special things that happen in the world. And, of course, April is National Poetry Month.
Indeed it is.
Yes. We need what's-his-name to come on right now and give us a poem. But
who's what's-his-name?
You know, from Minnesota.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. No, when I was young, I had to memorize a poem. And yesterday, Sarah said, "Hey, you got a poem to add to the poet tree? We've got poet trees at every
cute
branch that you can write on a little petal in the leaf and add your poem." And I was like, "Well, I had to memorize this poem when I was like 7."
Which one was it?
"Here, further up the mountain slope than there was ever any hope, my father built and closed a spring, strung chains of wall round everything."
Wow.
Robert Frost.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So anyway, if you've got a favorite poem or you are a poet, be sure to stop by one of the branches and fill out a little leaf and add it to our poet tree.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other things going on in our world at the library, of course, we have our ongoing programs happening. We've got Toddler Times on Mondays, and we've got our Tlingit Language Learners Group on Monday nights, and our Cuentacuentos Infantil on Monday night at the Valley, and our story times at the various libraries on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 11. And then we have some other great, fun things happening. Just a reminder that on Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, we will be open except for the Valley location. The mall closes for Easter, and so we close the mall, Mendenhall Valley Library, that day only. But
okay,
the other two locations will be open.
Great.
And we'll kick off fun events Tuesday, our family night for preschoolers ages 3 through 5 at 5:30 at the Downtown Library on Tuesday, April 7th. It's going to be great. You can come and pat the bunny.
Really?
Really, yeah. We're going to have Earl and Tiva and their human caretakers. Earl and Tiva are bunnies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And you can come and feed the bunnies and give them a snack and maybe do some little petting of the bunnies. And, of course, we'll have our craft and light supper. And every kid gets to take home a free book. And we do that in conjunction with AEYC every month on the first Tuesday. So
I thought you were going to say every kid can take home a free bunny. I'm like, nobody's going. Parents are like staying far, far away.
No, I saw something on Facebook today that was like a picture of stuffed bunny. And they're like, this is the Easter bunny. And then it was a picture of a real bunny and then said, this is a 10-year commitment. So yeah.
So true.
So you can enjoy the real bunny at the library.
That's so great.
Yeah. We also have International Tabletop Day, so another fun game event for all those people who love to play games. You can bring your own, or we've got our whole stash of like 500 games, maybe not quite that many, but at least 50. And all ages are welcome. That's going to be on Saturday, April 11th. So, you know, play games, go to the Folk Festival, play games, go to the Folk Festival. It'll be great fun. And speaking of Folk Festival,
yes,
we are going to have the 4th Annual Liars and Fiddlers Concert at the library this year.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, so it'll be at the Downtown Library also on Saturday, April 11th from 1 to 3. So that'll be great fun. And, you know, all it says on here is, can you sneak a tune from a fiddle that moves the heart and feet, or twist the truth of a story till all the ears believe it's a lie, or maybe you just want to listen to all this nonsense. I don't know. So it's hard to say what's going to happen at that event.
It's true. It's always one of those ones where you're like, great, let's try it out.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But apparently it's happened 3 times before, so they've got some sort of agenda,
yeah.
I'm sure. And then our third Thursday family time happens the third Thursday, which is actually interesting this year. The first Tuesday and the third Thursday come in successive weeks, so I'm not sure how that worked out. But
my brain just exploded. The look I just gave you was one of like, what?
But at any rate, the third Thursday falls on April the 16th, and we're going to have April in Paris as our theme, and it'll be great fun. Just come on over. You know, Madeline is loving Paris, and she's a great storybook character that we can read some stories about what she did in Paris. And we'll have some other Parisian-type play going on.
Can you only speak French?
Oui.
And there's the extent of mine.
Yeah, and then the other big thing getting going at the library, we had our first orientation for our StoryCorps grant. We received a grant from StoryCorps and the American Library Association to record and archive Alaska Native educational experience stories. We sort of had the idea for this based around the incident where the fourth grade curriculum materials that were not liked were pulled, and people asking for information about Alaska Natives and boarding school experiences, and how can they incorporate their own stories into the information that teachers might need to build curriculum around that. So this opportunity came up. We were one of 10 libraries out of over 300 applications that received the StoryCorps grant. We're really excited. People, of course, familiar with StoryCorps through public radio here. They've been around for the last 10 years doing different programs through the library and through the radio station and different Alaska iterations. So we're excited about that. We're getting underway, and we're still recruiting volunteers. So if anyone is interested in volunteering, we need people to help us recruit storytellers. We need people to help us facilitate during interviews. We need people to come and tell their stories. We need people to help us with promotions and planning our events around this grant. So it's not too late to get involved with that. And then our period for recording interviews will start in May.
Okay. So people should contact you now because it's coming. It's coming.
Exactly, right. So I'm heading out of town tonight and heading to the East Coast, to Brooklyn, where StoryCorps has their headquarters. And my colleague and I are going to have a training next week, and we'll learn all about the StoryCorps interview model, how to work the technology. You know, we're going to be given a StoryCorps kit, which is going to be a mobile recording kit where we can take our, you know, show wherever we need to go, and we can record stories and talk to people about their experiences. So I think it's a great opportunity. It's a wonderful oral history project that we're undertaking in conjunction with a lot of the Alaska Native organizations here. Wrote wonderful letters of support, including Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and Gold Belt and Tlingit Haida and ANS, A&B, the Alaska Native Sisterhood and Brotherhood, Grand Camp, as well as Camp 70, the State Library, and the university, a lot of folks, the museum, and of course K2, were all very supportive of our application. So we're excited to get this project underway.
What an important thing to bring to the community.
Exactly. I think we're hoping that we can get all the permissions that will be needed, and if Sea Alaska Heritage is interested, they can archive these interviews there, as well as we'll have a system for checking out different things at the library. If people give permission, we're going to work in conjunction with the museum and their digital story kiosk there to try and have some edited versions. And then, of course, when we open our new Mendenhall Valley Library in the fall.
You know, is that the fall?
Yeah.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah, so maybe as early as October, but we won't give any specific dates now, but we'll have a big reception around this project as well, and have a display of the different stories that have given us permission to do that. So we're excited about this project, and we hope that lots of people will come forward to not only help, but also tell some stories about their educational experiences and really provide that history that this community, I think, needs.
Wow, that is a big project. If people want to get involved either in telling the story or volunteering in other ways to support the efforts of this project, should they contact you directly?
Yeah, that would be great. My phone number at the library, my desk line is 586-0434. Keep in mind, I'll be out of town for the next week or so here, but leave me a message. Send an email to libraryevents@juno.org. That's an easy way to get in touch with us, or you can always just call one of the branches and they can direct you to me.
Yeah. It's just a great opportunity for our community to hear much needed stories about people's experiences. Yeah. Over the course of it's our Juno history.
That's right. So, and like I said, we'll need volunteers to help us with the project. It'll be a 6-month story recording period. So we'll be looking to at least record 40 stories and more if we have more people interested. And like I said, you can come in and do it and just take your CD home and not sign any of the permissions, and it's yours to do what with you want. If you want to keep that in your family and hand it down, you can do that you can sign the permissions, and you know, then there's a little bit broader archiving that will happen with your story.
Wow, that's great. What else is going on at the library that we didn't touch upon?
Gosh, we have pretty much everything covered for April. I think keep a close eye out, because in May we do take a little break from our story times, and we're also going to, you know, have some other great things happening here coming up in the spring. So just keep your ears open. We're hoping to get our Lego club up and going and some other things. So stay tuned. There's always something fun happening at the library.
That's right. And then Summer Book Club.
Summer reading program
is right around the corner.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if people want more information about who they can contact and or this wonderful schedule that says what's going on at all three libraries, well, four technically, kind of, though.
Well,
sometimes.
We have three branches at the Juneau Public Libraries, but we certainly work in conjunction with the Alaska State Library and the University Library at times, too. So.
Yeah. So where can we get this fabulous calendar that has all this good information?
So our website is juneau.org/library, and if you click on the calendar, you can download our printed calendar, you can look at the meeting room calendar, you can look at the special events or the featured events there. You can also check out our Facebook page, Juneau Public Libraries, IES there. And like us there, and Friends of the Library, of course, one of our main supporters of all things programming. We often post, or they repost everything on their Facebook page, too.
Great. Beth Weigel, Juneau Public Library System, off to Brooklyn.
Off to Brooklyn. No sleep till.
Brooklyn.
All right.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 1st of April, 2015. April Fool's Day, a day for pranks and hoaxes. Joseph Boskin, a professor of history at Boston University, said the practice dated back to the reign of Emperor Constantine, who was challenged by his court jesters that a fool could run the empire as well as he did. So he appointed a jester king for the day, and one of the jester's acts was to decree an annual day of merriment. The story ran in the Associated Press, and a couple of weeks later discovered that Professor Boskin had made the whole thing up. It was a hoax. And many people suspected a hoax when, on April the 1st, 2004, Google announced its new Gmail service. But indeed, it was for real. It was on this day in 1826 that Samuel Maury received a patent for his gas or vapor engine. It was the first internal combustion engine. He'd been interested in flammable vapors since the early 1800s. He discovered that turpentine, when mixed with air, was explosive, and he designed an engine to make use of it. It had a carburetor, two cylinders, valves, and cams. And Mr. Maury wrote, "Is there not some reason to expect that the discovery of the internal combustion engine will greatly change the commercial and personal intercourse of the country?" He had no idea. It's the birthday of Anne McCaffrey, born Cambridge, Massachusetts, 1926, best known for her Dragon Riders of Pern science fiction fantasy series, about Earth colonists on the planet of Pern living in a medievalish society with genetically engineered dragons. And it's the birthday of the author Milan Kundera, born in Brno, Czechoslovakia, in 1929, best known for his novels The Unbearable Lightness of Being, The Book of Laughter and Forgetting, and The Joke. He was expelled from the Communist Party for anti-party activities in the early 50s. Though he was pro-Marxist, he was active in the Prague Spring of 1968. His books banned by the Soviets after their invasion later that year. 1970, he left Prague for France, was stripped of his Czechoslovak citizenship. Immortality, which he published in 1990, was his last novel written in Czech. Now he writes in French. Here's a poem for today by John Keats, some familiar lines from Book 1 of Endymion. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases, it will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us, and a sleep full of sweet dreams, and health, and quiet breathing. Therefore, on every morrow, are we wreathing a flowery band to bind us to the earth, spite of despondence, of the inhuman dearth of noble natures, of the gloomy days, of all the unhealthy and o'er-darkened ways made of our searching. Yes, in spite of all, some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits. A Thing of Beauty, lines from Endymion by John Keats. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. Throughout the month of April, their favorite poem project, Florida, invites Floridians to submit their favorite poem. Florida-based listeners can submit their nominations at poetryfoundation.org/favoritepoemflorida. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 2nd. My name is Shona Osterhout. It is 37 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me, I have Margie Hamburger. She runs the Juno Douglas City Museum, and also Amy O'Neill Hauck, working with outreach at Perseverance Theater. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there's some pretty cool collaboration happening tomorrow for First Friday with some sculptures and things. Margie, how did this come about? What do we got going on?
Well, actually, it came about, I think we were both at a kid event where both our kids were involved in something, and Amy came over and said, we're doing this interesting play, and it has something to do with museums, and I got all kinds of ideas, so we started chatting, and we've kind of developed a couple of activities that are collaborative that kind of both promote Perseverance, very interesting play, and also, you know, get people to enjoy museum and celebrate museums in their community.
Yeah, so Amy, what is this play, and does it have to do with the museum?
Well, yeah, it's called Seven Homeless Mammoths Wander New England. It's subtitled an academic sex comedy, and it's about a museum that's closing. That's one of the plot lines, and so there's an uproar. It's a college, it's on a college campus, and there's an uproar because even though this museum seemed to not be making any money, people really love it. And as soon as it's closing, everyone is up in arms. So, yeah, it's a comedy, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so part of this play has these two characters that they're called Early Man 1 and Early Man 2. not necessarily men, but they're part of the exhibit.
That's right. In the scenes where they appear, they're immobile. They're like exhibit pieces until they begin to speak. And so as a fun way to connect with the museum and promote the play, our Early Man 1 and 2 are going to be living statues at the museum tomorrow during First Friday.
Mm-hmm. Margie, what will they be doing as far as what kind of, how does that work?
Well, I don't know if people have seen living statues. A lot of major cities, particularly if you go visit, you know, places in the summertime, and you might come upon one of these creatures, one of these beings, a statue that's just kind of posing. It's usually a human being that just stands super still and can be mistaken for a statue. But, of course, it's a form of street theater. Actually, I was reading a little bit about it. It goes way back to, you know, old European history, street theater events. So, but it still lives today. And so I'm not completely sure, but I think these Living Man 1 and 2 characters are going to be standing really still. And you can come and examine them. And I think the interaction will be something surrounding the play and promotion of the play.
So at the statues, they will engage with people depending on what the people who see them do, I think.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if you've, as Margie said, when you see a living statue, typically they're still until something happens until...
until you put a dollar in their hat.
Right.
In most cases.
Exactly. Right. And so, you know, while there may be an opportunity to support the museum and the theater, that's not a requirement. We're going to have other ways that, that people who come by can engage with them and get them to move and perhaps even speak. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. We're hoping the weather's going to be fine so they can be outside. That'll attract people's attention, but they'll be inside the museum if the weather's poor. So it's going to be a new experience, at least for the museum, and I think it'll be super fun. And as I said, a kickoff to a series of events that we're doing collaboratively around the play.
And will there be other things going on for First Friday at the City Museum?
The City Museum, we don't have any new exhibits. We're gearing up for a big bang in May. But it's the last chance this month to see the 12 by 12, which is the community art exhibit. And so if people haven't made it in for that, please come. It's really fun. And also the last couple of weeks of the Toe to Lee Juno, the cartoon show of the Toe cartoons, and then a sweet little exhibit of downtown sites of paintings from our collection. So all those three exhibits have been up, well, two for quite a while, and then 12 by 12 opened last month. So this is kind of like the last chance to come in and see that.
And all of these things being very specifically Juno, which is why I love coming to the museum, because, you know, it's got Perseverance Theater, very much a Juno place, and 12 by 12, Juno artists, and then, of course, Toe Tunes. And there's nothing more Juno than that, really. Yeah. What other collaboration does Perseverance Theater and the Juno Douglas City Museum have?
Well, we're going to have this scavenger hunt that's in development, but it's going to be ready, I think, next week. So folks can come to the museum, and we'll have all the materials for a sort of a month-long scavenger hunt around town, hopefully stopping at various historic sites to make the discoveries. And then what happens when they finish with
that? Well, they're going to be searching for these homeless mammoths that have to leave the museum because the museum is no longer there. And so they'll be able to find them and log the fact that they found them and be entered in to win tickets to the show.
I'm assuming they'll be small mammoths?
Yes.
Okay.
Miniature
mammoths. I can't find this mammoth.
That would be entertaining, too.
Right. Yeah.
So people actually, the way, do they have to find a certain amount? And there are
Yeah,
there
when
prizes?
They find all seven, then they're eligible. Yes. Yeah. And okay. It's not the figurative elephant in the room, but the literal one.
That's great. And so they post them on, say, Instagram, or is that the best way
or
to do
it? Or Facebook, and we're going to have logbooks so that they can check off that they've actually been there. And yeah, we're going to have an interesting way to basically, we want people to post that they found them without giving away where the site is. So.
That's tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky.
Yeah. They might have to be different colors or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. They will be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And close up, so you don't reveal the location by buildings or other landmarks.
Sandy Beach, dead giveaway. Great. Are there any other upcoming things you'd like to talk about that are at the museum?
Well, like I say, we've got lots going on in May, getting ready for the summer season, so I'll probably be back to talk about that, and people could stay tuned to our website. Just one little note, if there's people thinking about their summer and interested in volunteering, we have lots of ways to get involved, including walking tours and reception at the front desk, and I need a sewer. Anybody wants to sew? I have a lot of repairs on our education clothing. So that's coming up, and we're going to have a new thing in the summer. Actually, it's interesting, you just had Beth on the radio too, but doing some collaboration with the library and their summer reading program. So we're going to be offering some local hero walking tours that are family friendly, and that's in development right now, but that'll be happening this summer too, so excited about that.
And Perseverance, any upcoming things, you know, besides this big old play?
Well, we do actually have one more event with the museum, and that's going to be called a pop-up museum that's happening with Marjorie's help during the show at the theater. And you want to say what a pop-up museum is?
Well, a pop-up museum is created by the participants who show up. Like, the people who show up to see the exhibit are actually the curators of the exhibit. And so there's usually some sort of a theme, and people put objects and write labels on the spot, and you make a museum event exhibit in a matter of minutes, usually. And then the exhibit is up for the length of time that the event is being held, in which case this is the length of that particular show, with the idea that people will be able to see the exhibit during intermission. And then at the end of the exhibit, which is when the show is over for that night, you take your object and you go home, and it's all done. So how do you know the museum is going to pop up? Is that...
No, we'll be promoting both the pop-up days as well as the themes that are going to be...
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like show and tell, but
no real tell.
You write a tag that is the tell part, that explains your object and why you put it in or why it's special or tells some story about it. Oh, that sounds a lot of fun. So that'll be happening during intermissions at 7, or one intermission at 7 Homeless Mammoths.
Yeah. That's right.
That sounds like a great time. Is there a place that we can find this information? Is there a place on...
It's going to be on ptalaska.org and on the Facebook page for Perseverance Theater.
And we'll have also information on the museum website about the scavenger hunt and the pop-up museums as well, so people can look both places. Great. Margie from the City Museum and Amy from Perseverance Theater, thank you so much for coming to talk about great ways that you all are collaborating to bring people to both the museum and to the theater.
Thank you.
Support comes from Southeast Living Magazine, Southeast Alaska's real estate, home, and lifestyle magazine, working to reach potential home buyers and featuring articles on the unique lifestyle of Southeast, available online at seakliving.com.
Tune in to KRNN for live broadcasts from the 41st Annual Alaska Folk Festival taking place at Centennial Hall April 6th through April 12th. Support for this broadcast comes from True North Federal Credit Union, offering credit union membership to all Juneau residents, and from the Alaskan Brewing Company, offering locally crafted beer in a newly designed taproom at the brewery.
Juneau Audubon Society will sponsor three 2015 cruises to Berners Bay this year. On Saturday, April 25th at 8:30 a.m. and May 2nd, 8:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. The vessel departs Stadter Harbor below DeHarts. Stellar sea lions, harbor seals, bald eagles, humpback whale, and tens of thousands of gulls are just some of the species observed around this time each year. Tickets are available at Hearthside Books. Student rates are available for UAS and high school students over age 12.
And thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, April 2nd. It's 48 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me, the one, the only, Ms. Nancy DeCherney.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Made it through April Fool's Day pretty much intact.
Unscathed?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. So, we have a few things going on, as usual. There's this evening, in fact, over at the Jack at 6:30 is a thing on Chinook salmon of northern southeast, the status management and research. So if you're a fish person, you should check that out and find out what's going on. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. out at UAS in the Glacier View Room is the last of the Art of Place, and it's about regalia.
Ooh.
It should be beautiful.
Yeah.
And they always follow it up with little treats afterwards, some food. I like things that have food in them. So, yes, go see that. Let's see. It is, of course, First Friday.
So
tomorrow.
Indeed.
I don't know how it got to be Friday already, but here you have it. At 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., it's All About Life, the 4A's Open House and Art Show. That's in their office at 174 South Franklin, Suite 207. That's near the Rainforest Yoga Studio, I believe. I'm just going to take this thing sort of alphabetically.
Perfect.
Yeah. If they would just organize the stores that way downtown, it would be easier for us all. Okay, Annie Kales has Mercedes Munoz. She's got beautiful handmade ceramics and, of course, comes from a longstanding artistic family here in town, so we can look for a lot of really good stuff there. Alaska Robotics has a student show of comic art. That's from 4:30 to 7, featuring the art from local K-12 students.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of student art this month,
yeah.
So it's good. But speaking of students, Baranoff Hotel is celebrating Marie Darlin's 90th birthday.
Wow.
There'll be a 90th birthday party for her from 5 till 7 in the Treadwell Room, so please stop by and wish her well. She's done so many wonderful things in our community, and... let's see, Bustin' Out Boutique has busted out and is having a grand reopening. They've expanded.
Already?
Yes. So
oh, there's so many places to go here, but I'm just going to let
stay
you talk.
Right here. Yeah. It's from 4 to 7, and they're on 175 South Franklin, which is the Senate building. So they will have desserts and refreshments, and stop by and check it out. COPA has the JDHS All-State Art Show exhibit and ice cream, so you should stop by there. They're from 5 to 9. There will be 20 pieces or more of various media there, happening down there. I don't think they're able to get the whole thing in there, but it's going to be a great show. GCI has Terry Gardner Robus, 10 easels, and let's see, Juno Arts and Humanities, which is where you're supposed to start.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your little card with your little fold-up thing with all the information about where to go. We've got the UAS Juried Student Art Show.
Ooh.
We always have that every April, and they're in there setting it up right now. So stop in. It's always a great show. I love shows with multiple artists, and this will be one of those. In addition, we have Grit by M.K. McNaughton. Her new exhibit is up, so... And you can. She's got a slideshow of all the previous ones, so you can see all of her portraits. The Juno Artist Gallery has Lois Mano of Glassbird Studios. I think she's new to the show, to that shop down there, so come down and meet her. The Juno Douglas City Museum, this is your last opportunity to see the 12x12 watercolor show and the downtown sites and the Totally Juno, the cartoon selections. And then you were just talking with them about the woolly mammoths and fun things that will be happening there.
Yeah.
So Kindred Post always has a photo booth, and they will do that again. Photo booth by Zane Jones, live music by the Quaintrells, that's Taylor Vidic and Cameron Brockett. And that's from 4:30 to 7:30. KTOO, they're out there hanging stuff right now. They will have Alaska Photographic Arts Association, and I believe Jeff will be signing his new Real Alaskan magazine, so which is hysterically funny. We just got it in the shop, and the staff has been outright prolonged laughter. So. Rainforest Yoga has Bridget Kuhar doing a little yoga thing from 5:15 to 6:15. The Rookery has Photography for a Good Cause, an Alaskan Girl Abroad. That is Rosie Ainza. Sketch Studios is exhibiting their adult student art oil paintings. So, like I said, a lot of student artwork. For people who don't know, the Sketch Studio is in the parking lot behind Kenny's Walk and Teriyaki downtown. And the Canvas has their curated exhibit of their students' shows. So lots of fun things to be out and about doing for that piece of time. And then, of course, there's Dan Hobson playing live guitar. Share My Kingdom is running at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. There is As You Like It, the Floyd Dryden Middle School performance from 7 to 9, and there's a play called Hush, a play about the complexities of date rape from 7 to 8:30. That's in the K2 studios downstairs, and that's going to run through the weekend. Salmon Beyond Borders presents X Boundary at the Egan Lecture Hall from 7 to 9, and now for something completely different, from 9 to 10, there's a beatdown. Way
arts
in.
Up. Arts up.
At 907 Studios. Let's see. On Saturday, you've talked about the open studios.
Oh, that makes me laugh.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Let's see. On Saturday also, it's Easter egg hunt time.
On Saturday?
Yep. And I think that I saw in there somewhere that, oh, yes, on Friday from 5 to 6, the group of Grateful Dogs is having a cleanup poop scoop so that the Easter egg hunt area is, you don't find surprising things.
That's very kind.
Yes, it is. And from 1:30 to 4 is As You Like It Again at Thunder Mountain. There is a Raven's Tail workshop, thigh spinning, from 4 to 6 p.m. That is at the Canvas. The alumni people are having their annual spring dinner auction out at UAS Egan Library. You can probably get tickets by calling out there. Let's see, there's Sunday is Easter, so not too many things to do. So I hope you're going to enjoy all the things that go with Easter. And then on Monday, the Alaska Folk Festival begins. Oh, my goodness. How did that happen?
It did. We're so excited, too.
Yes, it goes on. And let's see, Tuesday is Mudrooms, and it's First Job, Worst Job. I don't know what the music is going to be, but it's from 7 to 8 p.m. or so at Northern Light United Church. And Folk Festival continues, and the dances begin on Thursday over at the Jack. So it's a pretty packed weekend and week.
Yeah, Folk Festival, no sleep.
No sleep. What was that
dance.
For? Any?
Yeah, just dance.
And have music and visit with friends you haven't seen for a while. And it's all kinds of fun. I think the Depot, by the way, the Depot has something going on First Friday.
Courtney Nelson
will be singing, yes.
With her husband, Gene.
Yeah, so, and they're pouring, I can't remember what it is they're pouring, but something exciting. You have to be 21 for that, of course. But, yeah, so it's a wonderful First Friday. I think it's going to be beautiful. Spring.
Excellent.
So, yeah, anything else do we have?
That's perfect. Okay. Nancy DeJourney, Juvenile Arts and Humanities Council, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. This time of year, high above the clouds caressing the upper reaches of the Sierras, soars the most majestic bird you are never likely to see or hear, the semi-fixed-wing silver delirium. This enormous creature, with a wingspan of some 4 yards, a sleek metallic silver body almost as long as its wingspan, and huge winged feet, visits our region once a year during its annual migration from its home in Tierra del Loco, a remote island promontory rising out of the southern Pacific. Until recent years, the delirium was known only to the natives, a scant 73 in number, of its home base. Then, in 1989, a Russian spy satellite detected its presence along the northern California coast. It being that brief period known as perestroika, the Soviet authorities, mistaking the delirium for a missile, alerted the U.S. Air Force. Jets were scrambled, and not until they had attained a height of 40,000 feet did Americans catch their first glimpse of this all but mythical creature. Why the name? Tierra del Loco is the one and only protectorate of the ancient Micronesian Principality of Deliria. I'm Michael Stein for Bird Note, and we're urging you to keep watching the skies.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, April 2nd. Tune in tomorrow for a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein hosts. They'll talk with musicians that are performing tomorrow night at the Rec Center. They'll talk with C. Scott Fry, and Mark Whitman will be here to highlight upcoming events.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas.